As we open our prayer time, prayer meeting, I had opportunity to share with a lady in the hospital kind of thing this morning. And in the process, we shared because it was easy to forget which day it is when you're in those kind of things. What day is it, you know? You don't keep track of them so much. And so we did a little exercise, and we thought that you might like to exercise like we just did. Only this time, it'll take a little longer than we took with her. And we're trying again to give you a foundation for what we said. So, therefore, be exercised. Over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. And what we're looking at in the light of being in a convalescent home, hospital, all that kind of thing, has limitations and conditions and makes it, you're limited. Our country, you are surrounded. I don't know where it isn't happening. We're inundated, we're buried. And from kindergarten, schools, politics, especially politics, everything to do with politics, military, the police, all of that is being reduced. Anyone that is even indicating a consciousness of wanting to honor our Declaration, Constitution, and being a republic, these United States, socialism, Marxism better. It's controlling. I don't know where it isn't. Overwhelming. I don't know how we can stop it. So therefore, the hospital looks good. The hospital condition looks good compared to where we are. But, therefore, why we shared. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have a huge advantage. We want to make sure we exercise it. And we're going to get into other things, but it hasn't changed. Unless you stay full of courage and with understanding, courage plus understanding plus decision to go and stand up in your heart and head against all that's going on. They're looking for you just to yield and sit down and just want to hold the fort like we said Sunday night. The Lord is coming. We want to do that. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And may I pick up, please, in verse 15. And that he died for all. I'm going to read verse 14. The love of Christ constrains us, holds us tight in its grip. Because, why, we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So we have no resistance to God, because he crucified us. So we don't fight him anymore. We're supposed to reckon ourselves dead. And dead people don't give you a problem. Verse 15, for that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So God, we transfer from our life to his life. Oh, how so? Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, humanly, our Lord, born in Bethlehem, Judea, in Galilee, and Capernaum, and all of that. That's all. He's just a human. Human. Yes, he is. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. We don't know Christ before the cross. All we understood that he was just a man. The cross resurrection declared him the Son of God. And all of a sudden, every knee shall bow. Acts 2 and all that. He is pronounced Lord and Christ by way of his death, burial, and resurrection. All the way up to that, oh, he's just a wonderful something, king maybe, but they didn't understand. Therefore, that's the background for the next verse. Verse 17, therefore, understanding that we aren't talking about a going to the cross, we're talking about afterwards going to the cross. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creator, his new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everything is new. Everything is new. We don't know God out. We don't talk about we're going to follow his steps as he did on planet Earth with his... No. We have a whole new relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen. He's God. And as God, therefore, if any man be in Christ, where are we located? You're located in the room. In the room. That's where you are. In Christ. That's your location. And everyone in Christ, in the room, is a brand new creature. They're all seen. The world angels out there looking, everyone in the room is considered a brand new, they aren't like in 1 Corinthians 10. No more, there's Jews, there's Gentiles, and now there's the church of God. Here we are in the room, in the room, in God. Wow, hang on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, and not only is the believer in God, that's what I wanted you to get, that's what it says. All things, not some things, all things have passed away. All things have become new. All means all. What part of you wasn't crucified when Christ died? How's that? What day of your life did God leave out when he died on the cross? He took all your days and all your hours and all your minutes from day one to the end of the time. He crucified him. He's done with him. All things have passed away. God is not looking at him. God knows them. He crucified him. He's done. Hang on. Now, they're over to John, the Gospel of John. And chapter 1. And in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, may I pick up, please, in thought that which you know, but you need to have the foundation locked on. You don't want to say, oh, what? If I ask you a question, how would you explain that? I don't know. You want to be able to explain. Your support is understanding. If you're doing physics, mathematics, whatever it is, don't you need to know how to do each step to get to the answer? Don't you have to know that? Sure you do. Well, you can't just exercise this truth piecemeal. Doesn't work. And the proof that it doesn't work, you can't find it out in the street. You can't find it. I'm a believer. Show me the truth. I don't know the truth. I don't know how to do it. Okay, so that's just to bother you. Now, John chapter 1. Therefore, verse 12. As many of you, each of us, that have received him, like you received water, like you received your supper or whatever, as many as received him, to them gave he power, right, privilege, to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how I became a new creature. How did I become a new creature and all things were passed away? I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and your Savior. And what did that do? Well, verse 14, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. our Lord Jesus Christ is God, and we shared grace 1,000 times and 1,000 more. Grace is what? The only way you can get it. How are you going to get saved? By grace. No flesh shall glory in his presence. There's no way to get anything by hook or by crook or by whatever you want to maneuver. You can't get it because we don't have it to get. We can't get it because it belongs to God. You can't have it without God. And God, that's why grace is. Grace means God's, it's God's everything and our nothing. We're the vessel. God is the occupant. It's him all the way. Grace. That's why you're saved by grace. That's why you're saved. If you're going to be saved by some of the grace plus nothing, because the plus is going to keep you from enjoying being saved. Grace saves you 1,000,000%. Period. All of God did it. That's nothing you did. Now, so therefore, grace, verse 16. And of his fullness have we all received, same verb as in verse 12, remember, as we've all received grace in place of grace, little word for, like the waves of the ocean, one wave after another, endless, never stops, high tide, low tide, waves, in and out, God's grace upon grace. From where? Christ. You receive Christ as your Savior. He is the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is providing what? Himself. When does he run out of being who he is? When does he run out of being grace? When does he run out of grace? Never. That's why you received him and you received grace upon grace upon grace. Now, well, we're saved by grace. So that's what church is demonstrating. This assembly should be, along with others across the world, should be demonstrating what? Not the law. They're demonstrating the grace of God. That's what they're doing. We're saved by grace. We're seated by grace. Hang on. Now, having said that, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. So keep that in mind, if you would. So, over if you would, oh, while you're here, in John chapter 5. Well, on your way, why not? Good to be a good exercise. Chapter 3. And may I pick up, please, in verse 16. Chapter 3 and in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, be destroyed, put out of business, but have everlasting life. Now, what do you know when you became a new creature and received Christ as your Savior? What are you to know? Not you feel it. What do you know? You cannot what? Perish. You understand that? You can't perish. Don't puzzle. Don't look so puzzled. You should have this. This isn't a big thing. It's what it is. It's what it is. You cannot perish. Chapter 5, verse 24. And in chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, what do they have? Everlasting life. And they shall not come into condemnation, shall not, no, they aren't going to perish. They aren't going to be condemned or judged. Not like that. But it's past, already perfect past, is not going to happen again. It's already gone by. Already, Christ already died. You received him. There's no more talking about it. It's all done. Finished on Calvary's cross. Therefore, verse 24 at the end. But it's passed from death to life. When did that happen? When you don't perish. You can't be condemned. You can't be. Now, that doesn't mean as a son, you can be chastened and all those things. That's true. Being a seed of Christ, we're going to be judged. But that's not the same. That's not the same thing as being lost. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful person, doing what he does in a most extraordinary way. Chapter 11. And in chapter 11, if I can, pass from death unto life in most wonderful thing. And you know it, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, a dead brother, looking at a dead brother, who they believed that if Jesus was there, he wouldn't have died, but he did die. And the Lord Jesus said, the death isn't the issue. You're making it an issue. It's not an issue because you already died. Mary will have to see that when Christ hasn't been crucified yet, but she would. Martha would see that, I should say. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, 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 positively, never, 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 never die. Do you believe that? You'll never die. You can't perish, can't be condemned. You pass from death unto life. That's done. That's why you're a new creature, if you're saved. That's just plain old why it is. Now you got to lock that in. Lock that in. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. The government didn't do it. No one did it. God did it. That's why it's true. Otherwise, we'd be playing the game forever, back and forth. Therefore, keeping that in mind, if I can, in the light of I am the resurrection and the life, and that you over that you help. That's a good one. Galatians. These are just simple, wonderful things that I need to lock on to. Galatians chapter 2. Remember, I'll do this one. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Paul said, I'm a believer. Yet, not I. You don't live, Paul? No, I do live. Yes, I do. I'm going to get stoned and everything else, shipwreck and all kinds of things. But that isn't the issue. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith, my trusting God's wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life I now live is his. I died, I can't perish, can't be condemned. The devil can say, you're going to go to hell. No, you can't. Can't anymore. I don't care if they try whatever they want. They can't send me to hell. I can't go to hell. I don't belong in hell. And neither do you if you're saved. That's all. I can't go there. You know, someone says, go to H-E double sticks, you know. No, sir. No way. No way in this earth. Nope. Or above, you can't get there either. So, in the light of that, over in Colossians, right next door, all of this is just saying why you're a new creature in Christ. That's all. You got to understand why old things have passed away, all things to become new. That's why they're new. You got to know why they're new. They aren't new to us because we live them. We have the old business that we're dealing with, but God finished it when he created you before you were born, gave you physical birth, and gave you spiritual birth if you received him as your Savior. And it's all finished. There is no more. Hang on. You want to know what I said in a very short little bit with Mrs. Who's it? But I got to get there. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In glory. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall also appear with him in glory. And I'll read verse 3, I meant to. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So God, there's no way I'm going to read any of the pages of God's word. I have to understand as far as God's concerned, from Genesis, from all the epistles, etc. I don't have, God is not going to look. He's looking at your unique, permanent relationship to God right now. He doesn't have any other. We have all of this in our brain, but God doesn't. God is not. He tells you, I'm not looking at it. I buried it. I'm dead. Dead. Oh, no, my memory, my feelings, my fears, etc. So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so the Lord Jesus Christ, God in Christ, it's his life. And God in Christ in you is his life. The life that you now have in the flesh, in this body. And remember now, your physical body changes, grows. We'll see that in a second. We'll do that then, I guess. In the process, as you are going and in Christ, your new creatures in Christ, all of those things. So now, the life that you now live, if you're saved, is to be his life. Henceforth, we read it in 2 Corinthians 15, chapter 5, verse 15. Live not henceforth anymore to yourself, you live unto me. You have a wonderful relationship to me. And we're to do that. So that relationship to you is God. And the life that I now have, belongs to me. It's my life. My life. Your life, because you belong to him. You belong to him. And his life belongs to you. It's your eternal, wonderful relationship to God, period. That's how God sees it. No one else in the world is going to, only good angels. The bad ones aren't going to do anything. Therefore, God, here we have this unique life that you've given us in a most unique way. Now, in the outworking of that life, the outworking that you have, what are we going to do? Open Romans chapter 12. And watch it. I have this life, so God, okay, how do we exercise it? How do we exercise this life that I'm supposed to have? Okay, chapter 12. In the light of the background of the 11 chapters on righteousness and that. Chapter 12, verse 1, Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, most logical thing to do, service, most obvious thing to do. If he's your life, then you ought to live it. That's what you ought to do. If it's true, then I ought to do it. A living sacrifice. It'd be easy to be a dead one. A dead, boom, over. No, you have to be a living one. Why? Because he died on the cross and rose again to give you his life, to exercise his life. That's you're his witnesses, Acts 1:8, for the whole world to see. See what? His life. That's why your life, you're a new creature. You aren't a Jew, you aren't a Gentile, you're a saved, believing believer, and you are learning to enjoy it. And the world looks, wow. So God, the life that you have, and in verse 2, so therefore be not conformed, don't let the world tell you what to wear, think, do. That's what's happening, going to happen big time. Big time, they fire people that should never be fired and everything. They're getting rid of anybody that knows anything about good old patriotism in America. Down the tubes. I don't know how effective. In politics, see, the rest of them out there outside of politics control the game. They control the game, see. The courts control the game, the judges. So you can say what you want. Unless you want to go live in I don't know where you go find some hills in the Ozarks or something, and hide out, but I don't know. How are you going to overcome them? I don't know. Wow. Now, therefore, in the light of such conditions, God, you've given us such a position that the life that we now live is yours. So, while you're here in Romans, go with me over to Romans chapter 8. In Romans in chapter 8, what do we know? Well, we know, God, that you're going to go, and the life we now live, which we abide, like John 15, sliding back to that thought for a minute, John 15, 4 and 5, you abide in me, and I abide in you, and ask what you will, and I'll do it. And abide in, as the branch abides in the vine, so the vine rests in the branch, and the relationship is what? So that without me, you can do nothing. The branch is useless without the tree. It's absolutely useless. You don't have to go, well, find it. Take a branch off. Pick a flower. Only so long. It's going to die. It has to die. It's not connected. Now, so therefore, having said that little bit and keeping that, God, we have a unique relationship to you. Verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God, we're looking for the outworking of your life in a most wonderful way. And that's what God's going to do. And God, what are you doing, by the way? Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to mark out ahead of time what you want to do, what do you want to achieve, to mark out ahead of time. To achieve, to predestinate, to be what? To be conformed, to be transformed, to be like, verse 29, the image of a son. God, you saved us to be like your son. That's what you did. And you gave us a wonderful, wonderful life in a most wonderful way. And we're able to go and succeed in that life. Sliding over to verse 26, for it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Sheep for the slaughter. And Satan is busy with his wolves, and the shepherd is busy with his sheep. Satan is busy with his wolves, and the shepherd, our Lord, is taking care of the sheep. That's what he's doing. Why can't the sheep rise up? Because it isn't about their flesh gaining or doing anything. It's about God proclaiming his wonderful life. Whose life? His life, which is untouchable. Can't touch it. That life, that awesome life. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so you have a body, and your body right now is on time. You've been living so long, and living so long in this body of yours. And so if I could say, go back to make it easy, go back 15 years in your life, depending if you're just 16, it's a little hard, but if you go back 15 years in your life, go back. And as you go back in 15 years in your life, and now try to just think of that for half a second, what you were like, who knows what you can think of. And then come to where we are right now. And 15 years have gone by, and the calendar has gone, the calendar and the calendar and all that has taken place in the calendar and the days. So what did we do today? We had the calendar, and we took the calendar and said, what are we going to do to know what day it is? So each day we're going to put a little X right through the day. You ever do that? Right through the day. Now all of those are X's, and the blank ones have to be fulfilled, true? So now we're going down, and tomorrow we'll finish the day and put another X in. And all of those days are gone. They're all gone. No more can I have them. They're all gone. And the only blanks that are left that God knows aren't filled in yet. You haven't died yet. You're going to die, or the Lord's coming, but you're rocking the taser. Your salvation, think of Romans 13. Your salvation is nearer chapter 13, than when you first believed. Every day it's less. You're closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. You're getting older. You're getting older. And we hope to, like the Dutch thing, getting wiser. Wiser, older. What you didn't know when you were 20, I bet you're all smart fellows at 20, but I'll tell you what, some of you are past 20, and I bet you learned a little bit that you never knew at 20. You never knew it. You were sort of smart, stupid smart about it. You know, I knew everything, see. You're learning. You have to get older. What are you learning? It isn't about your life. It's about his life. Well, it's easy to see, to say it. We can read it. You're new creatures. The life that you now have in the flesh is his. That's correct. So what are we doing? Moment by moment we're going, and he's living his, what's the believer doing? They're outliving his life that has no time to it. It doesn't add. You don't add to it. You don't subtract from it. And 100 years from now, you don't add to it, and you don't subtract to it. 1,000 years from now, you don't add to it or subtract to it. Does God in you change? How's that? How's that for a question? Does God changing inside of you? No. You want to be changing. God gave you his life. His life is perfect life. Right now. That's what you're to be exercising in order to handle the conditions you live in. Yeah, you got this old body, you bet your life, with all its lousy old nature. And then I got the satanic system running the whole show out here. And then I got my worldly system with the governments and all of that. And then I got my fleshly and all three things. For what? How am I going to handle them? I have a wonderful relationship to God with all of his life. And I'm to practice God's wonderful life that you and I should now have. So how do we handle it? We brush our teeth and do everything for this life. But all the while, if you're saved, you say, well, I'm saved, but I don't understand. Well, then you need to. Because otherwise you don't enjoy being saved. I don't see how you could. I don't see how you can do it. You can't, actually. So we got to look to God, and God does what he does in his most wonderful way and outworks his glorious plan so that whatever he does and how he does it, Satan doing what he does as he does. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, what have we got? Over to Hebrews. That's what you're doing. See, calendar, but that's nothing to, all that is normal stuff. So you, as you're breathing, you're going, feeling pain, headache, coming, going, everything. We gotta live with all of it. We live in it. That's all right. That's why he left you here. We don't live in the days of Jeremiah. They were awful days. Awful days. In the days of Noah, would have been awful, awful too. Awful days to live in. But we don't live in those days. We don't live in the days of the great slaughters in the world. Over 100 million people have been killed by communism in China and Venezuela and Cuba, whatever it is. Cambodia, wow. That's why they changed. That's why they got a different, they can't use class warfare, workers against the employer. They can't use that. Not in this country, because we like owning a house. We like owning a car. We like being able to go to the grocery store and buy any peanut butter we want. That's what we like. So we can't use that. That's why we got the race thing. So that what? We can play it. Play it. Instead of workers against the employers, it's race against the other guys. To what? Divide. They aren't trying to accomplish anything in that sense. They're trying to destroy it. That's what communism, that's communism. And you can't use it. You can't use it in the way Russia did, because no one wants to kill 100 million people. Who wants to do that? So we got to have another system. Maneuver is going to come out the same way, but that isn't the point. The point is the aggressiveness to do it. You know all these things. Now, so therefore Hebrews 5, or 13, I should say. And you'll notice in Hebrews chapter 13, God, if you're going to be my life, what am I to be? No, that's when all these truths come in. Watch them. Chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Whether you can have them, good, or you don't get them, that's all right. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He didn't say, I'll make sure your cup is full or something. I'm going to be there. You don't lose your relationship to life. That's why he'll say, look at it in a minute. That's why he said, don't worry about your body. Don't worry about death. What's wrong with you? Do you believe? That's why he said, I'm the resurrection and life. The death isn't the issue. You've made it because it's so critical. It isn't the issue. If you're enjoying eternal life, what's the difference? It can't be shut off. Do you understand? All it can do is be made alert. You got to get rid of this body. You got to get rid of this to have it. And that's what's going to happen when he comes, when you die. Gone. So we can enjoy what we had. We always had it. We just never enjoyed it. Now, having said that, so that we may boldly say, verse 6, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. And boy, we got that. You got a fear. You bet you do. Now, we got a fear, mask, the mask and no mask, vaccine, no vaccine, all these different fears out there. That's one of the big things you got to overcome. The fear problem, because that's what is created. And we got the fear problem, and in the process, as we seek to overcome the fear and all of that from everything happening, and God tells us he's the same yesterday and today and forever, and your life. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In verse 6, I will not fear what man can do, because they can't do anything, as we just said. Sliding down to verse 8. Jesus the Christ, what do I know, God? You're the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever? God, when do you change? God, when do you be more than God, ever? When do you be less than God? Never. You're always God. That's right. You're perfectly God forever. That's right. That's what you have, a relationship to me. That's why your life, that's why the life you now live in the flesh is eternal. That's permanent. Nothing can change it. It's an awesome life. And I need to recognize that. So that instead of looking out everywhere, trying to find happiness or security or a loaf of bread, I'm going to be able to be a little more content and trusting God to all work, each thing that has to be done as it's done, if it's to be done. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Over to 1 Corinthians. He doesn't change, so God, you're able to be, my God, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Absolutely. And that's what I want to do. I'm not trusting anything or anyone. Trust God. The life I now live in the flesh is his. I enjoy breathing physically. That's physical life. But I can enjoy breathing so that I can understand with my brain and heart, my soul. And your soul never grows, you know. You don't have big souls, little souls, large souls. you know, and the soul's 1,000 years old. Wow, is it big? No, it isn't. It's the same as when you got it. It's the same. The same. It's just the body. You had to work it through. That's why you became big. So you couldn't be a baby anymore. So you could say more than gaga. It's like you grow up. That's what you do. But you don't do. It's all the same. You know, I'm going to be bigger. No, you aren't. If you were 10 feet tall, it wouldn't make any difference. Like Goliath, no difference to make. Same size. Wow. God, it's a relationship, a person. A person. And God, you are making, able to go and develop our person by the Spirit of God to enjoy your wonderful, our wonderful relationship to you as new creatures in Christ. So, chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common, everyone all over the place, to man. Nothing is unfamiliar in the process. When I had to go into this place today, I had my little mask in my pocket, and I pulled it out, waved it to them, and waved it. And then the girl came over with a mask and said, have you been vaccinated? Whatever you call it. I said, I've had the mumps, everything. I had all of the shots. I said, I got all the shots there are. I can't get sick anymore. Wow, a wonderful thing. She said, go. They're relaxed more in there. Not all are like that, but they are. Now, so in the process, all such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, put to the test above all that you are able, but will, with the temptation, trial, test, trouble, proof, putting to the proof, make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So we got to live through everything, but we're living his life to handle all the rest of the stuff that I have to live in my body, in my heart, in my mind, in my memory, in my body, all the different parts of my body, and my experience, my relationships. That's how I have to live them. Now, God, it's an awesome movement. Now, God, go. Okay, I'm going to go do it. Okay, now, God, and with all the things needed, I'd miss the spearing, so God, who's going to protect me? Who's going to help me with everything seems to be disappearing that would make a healthy, protective society profitable, workable? Wow, missing. Over to Matthew. Matthew in chapter 10. And you will notice in Matthew chapter 10, now, just do this part of it anyway. Chapter 10, may go to verse 16. Remember, he's verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city that had all the advantages and they did nothing. Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be happier, if they could use the word. So verse 16, behold, because they didn't reject Christ. They reject Christ, reject Christ, reject Christ. Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now God, how were they sent into the enemy territory? How were they sent into the darkness? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How were they sent into the darkness, into the valley, into the evil? God said, the world hates you. It hates me. I'm light. Darkness hates light. Now, so my question then, God, how are we sent? With what weaponry? As sheep, Romans 8, to the slaughter. Because you aren't demonstrating your strength, you're demonstrating his life. And they could cut your head and your arms and take you apart, but they can't touch your life. Chapter 10, verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. and what you hear in the ear, preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able, that's God, to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. They're just little old birdies flying around out there. God, do you know every little birdie? I said, I do. A little birdie. Who cares about a little birdie? God said, I know them. And not only that, as you know, wonderful. Verse 30, that's personal. All the hairs of your head are all numbered. I know them. And every day, I forget how many 100,000 you had, whatever you started with, and they're falling out. Aren't they falling out? No offense to anybody, that they have to fall out. Usually, to some measure, you know. They aren't necessary too much. I wouldn't want to lose my other parts, but the rest of that's nothing. So, God, you know it all. I do. Verse 31. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. That's what you are. You're a new creature. I am to be resident in your life. You received me as your Savior. I am your life. The life you now live is mine. You're going to live that life, relationship, as you go to work, school, home, play, whatever you do. Exercise your relationship to my wonderful personal presence in your life and handle all the rest of it. So you're never alone. The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. God's able to go and be faithful in his wonderful faithfulness, and I'm able to go right down the corridor of time, and God's able to keep me in thick or thin, no matter how rotten or lousy anything is. My life is untouchable in Christ, and so is yours. Untouchable. And that's the whole point. The world can't touch it. It can't take it away from you. It can't take away your relationship to God. Wear the mask, it will separate, and all this different things. No, separate. We ought to be marked. Mask, not the mask business. We're marked by Christ. You can't take our life. Our life is Christ. You can't have it. It's ours. And no one can have it. That's wonderful.